Anyone having any difficulty with it? Okay. Would anyone care to tell me why we practice noble silence? How does it assist our practice?
Decreases distractions.
Just decreases distraction in what way?
If we're not interacting with each other and talking with each other, then we're not stimulating thought and thinking. And
excellent. So, we're using it as a way to avoid the normal stimulation of thinking. Anything else?
Maybe to make us aware of any knee-jerk reactions we have socially. Things you would have said in our...
Okay, so that we can see the way the mind is reactive. Yeah? Chance to be with your own thoughts. Perhaps with a little more awareness, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
Well, if energy follows focus, then this will be an energizing practice.
Because?
It seems like not waste, but use a lot of energy in talking and chatting.
Yes.
So, without talking and chatting,
okay.
So you seem like I'd be saving energy.
You don't use energy interacting.
Mm.
Good.
Left alone with your own projections.
Ha ha! Mm. Left alone with your own projections. Good one, that, isn't it? How easy is that?
It's quite funny sometimes.
Huh?
It's quite funny sometimes.
Quite funny sometimes, yeah.
Painful at other times.
Painful at other times. Even unbearable sometimes. Okay, so it's all of those things, but the basic principle is we are learning to train our minds to be present in the moment, without being drawn into any activity related to the six senses. So, if you look at the normal activity of your life, you are interacting with your environment visually. A huge amount of our daily interaction is visual, yes? Then a huge amount of our daily focus is on eating. That might be the second biggest. Food. Enjoyment of taste. Third is sound. Listening to the beloved sounds of other people's voices, of music, of whatever it is, of birds and so on. So we interact through sound. Then to some degree through smell and through touch. And then the most powerful of all is through the mind. The mind is constantly interacting with its thoughts. So those are what they call the six sense spheres. They call them spheres. The sphere of thought and thinking, sound and hearing, food and tasting, smell and smelling, visual objects and seeing, the sense spheres. Now, meditation practices have a variety of levels of intensity. The way we're doing it, if we're looking at a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most intense, we're around about 1.5. The The most intense would be a dark retreat, where for 49 days you are in a specially built building where there is not a fraction of sign, light, and there is no sound. So you experience a very advanced degree of sensory deprivation. We know that for the unstable mind, sensory deprivation is unbearable. And in fact, typically, people will go mad if they're subjected to too much sensory deprivation. And it's very interesting that this happens. It's not because anything damaging or dangerous exists there. It is because most people are totally and completely unable to be alone with their own minds. That's remarkable, isn't it? Most people are unable to be alone with their own minds. So, in our training, what we're learning to do is push that boundary towards being increasingly alone with our own minds. As a result, we learn what is really going on there, because when you are alone with your own mind, without any form of distraction, your mind begins to display itself. It starts to show itself. It starts to show you what is really there, what is really going on. And this is the path to liberation, because the unseen stuff that's going on is the stuff that holds us trapped in endlessly repeated cycles of thinking, of reacting, of projecting. And those cycles are mostly going on at levels just below our normal level of awareness. This is why I talk so much about the subliminal, because the subliminal is the level where we gain access to all that normally unseen, unknown activity. Subliminal. So when we start our mindfulness training or meditation training, whichever we'd like to call it, a prime factor is finding a place where the conditions are created that enable us to move towards this place where we start truly engaging with what's really there, or maybe not engaging, discovering, being open to allowing the undistracted experience of ourselves, the unmasked experience of ourselves. And of course, very, very few people could go on our scale that we talked about earlier from 1 to 10. When Lama Yeshe Rinpoche did his first dark retreat in Nepal, I think he was the first person who'd ever actually managed 49 days in that retreat facility. The longest anyone prior to him had done it, and these were Tibetan lamas, was 3 days before he opened the door and bolted. Most of them managed 12 hours. And these are people who'd been training in meditation for a long time, some of them for most of their lives. So, if we can't be alone with our minds to any great degree for very long, that's not surprising. What is surprising is that none of you have run away yet. After how many days is it?
Two days.
Wow. You're champions. Okay, so what we're offering you here is this unique chance to embark upon this journey of self-discovery, finding out about your own mind. The function of Lorraine and Heather and I is gently to push you in a certain direction and then hold your hands. We're here to hold your hands. That's what we're offering you. We do offer you food and accommodation as well. But what it's really about is the context we've created for you and how we're hoping to help you find out about your own minds.